Good evening, everybody. Oh, I don't know. I might stand and say that. I used to, when I was in high school, of course, I'd been in assembly all my life, but I'd sneak out and go to the Christian church. And that pastor every Sunday would say, "Good evening." And if they didn't say good evening, he'd say it again and again and again. And also went there because I liked to play basketball. And you had to go three times a month to play on their team. So, and it worked out, though. I want to give a prelude. That just means fancy way of saying an introduction. I really appreciate, you know, first of all, the pastor, you know, really do. We moved back about a little over 2 years ago. And, you know, we had a hard time finding a church. And, of course, we could have, there were a dime a dozen. And good churches. But when we found this church, of course, I've been in assembly all my life, and so, you know, I was acquainted with the practices. But there's just something about this church, something that I felt a kindred spirit, and my wife, she agreed. And then we started coming and hearing the pastor preach. And you know, you can hear a lot of preaching nowadays. And I've heard a ton of preaching all my life. I was raised in the Assembly of God, teethed on that, if you got melody of praise. I mean, chewed gum in the back seat. You know, I did it all. I did it all. And my grandparents were Assembly. We heard something that fed our soul. And, you know, you can go to churches, and I'm not putting anybody, I love everybody. I love all the churches. But, you know, some major on jumping around. Some major on just sitting there. But, you know, we kind of got everything in this church. People praise the Lord, raise their hands. People just sitting there. You know, all kinds. So, you know, we didn't feel, I don't know, I guess you're in the ministry for 30-some years, and you feel like you have to perform for people because you pastor or evangelize. And, you know, finally we found a place where we don't have to be a superstar. We don't have to be the best. We can just sit there and enjoy the service if we want, or we can get involved. And I'll tell you what, it's the best time of our lives, I'll tell you. But we appreciate everything that's preached, everything that's said. And same with the youth pastor. I don't know him much by name, because that's my name, John. But, he's filled in when the pastor's been gone, and, man, he surprises me. He sounds like my grandfather preaching sometimes. Man, just straight down the middle. And then pastor gets up on Sunday morning and preaches another one. And, well, we really feel at home. We do. And we thank you for accepting us. And then, lo and behold, we get to teach once in a while, you know. I don't know why in the world you ask us. But we want to serve. We were taught by our pastor in Kentucky. He was a state senator. He's a big shot, but he was just a little old Kentucky boy. But he taught us, and then I was taught by my home pastor, Brother Ron Frazier. He's an Okie. Whenever you're called upon, don't ask questions. Just serve. Whatever it is. And so we tried to do that. And so we keep on trying. And so, lo and behold, the other night, 2 weeks ago, the pastor, I guess I come to the wrong prayer meeting because he asked me to preach. And so, you know, I can, you know, I think and I rational it out myself. You know, you're not who you used to be. And then I think, well, thank God. you know, I can preach and go home and not have to worry about it. And that's pretty good, brother. It feels good. And so we thank you for a place to worship. And we can sit there on the back rows Sunday after Sunday and just enjoy the services, or we can enjoy preaching, whatever. And that's just a good way to feel. And so I just want to say thank you. And we try to be here as much as we can, try to be involved as much as we can, because we don't do nothing else. We're retired, or forced retirement for me. And we found our place. And so thank you so much. And we hope that we pray that this church will continue to see success and faithfulness and the Spirit of God moving among us. And that's what's important. And that's what we feel here. You know, there's been certain times on Sunday morning. Two weeks ago, after the pastor asked me to preach, I thought of things to preach. You know how preachers are. We think of things to preach, old sermons. And I burned most of my sermons. I had hundreds and hundreds, and I just burned them. I didn't want no remembrance of anything. Wish I'd kept them now. Didn't think I'd ever be preaching again. But, well, anyway, we appreciate the Lord. But this church, I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning, and the Lord laid on my heart. And it's kind of odd because I need one severely. But this is a season for miracles. And I thought of that, miracles. And I wasn't thinking about that, wasn't in my heart. And I said, well, Lord, I'll preach on it. I don't know how it'll come out, but I like to try to preach on this is a season for miracles. And you know, I don't give them. You don't give them. You don't get them because of your goodness, because of your holiness, because of your attendance, faithfulness. But God gives them freely. I believe that. I believe that. And you know what seems weird? And I'm glad I don't have to use all that preacher language anymore. I can just talk normal. Or try to anyway. But I'm glad that as long as there's an Assembly of God church here in Claremore, I can believe God for miracles. The message is still believed. Now we just got to receive them. Now, let's get to God's Word. Luke chapter 1. Let's see. Chapter 1, verse 34. And in keeping with Christmas, let's go to 35. It says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall be upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin, of course, Elizabeth, she shall also conceive a son in her old age. And this is a 6 month with her who was called barren. That was another miracle. But 37 says, for with God all things not were possible, but thank God are possible. Let's pray. Now, Lord, you see the circumstance tonight. God, there's not a perfect one in this building. But God, to you, we're deemed perfect if we're covered with the blood of Jesus. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that we can speak of the impossible happening, even right here tonight, Lord. And it's happened throughout the history of this church. We pray your blessing upon every ear to hear. And God, let these lips open them up. Let them speak clearly. Let there be no flaw in the speech. And Lord, may you have your way in this church tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Mary asked the question, well, Lord, how's this to be? I can't have a baby. You know, I'm not married. And the Lord spoke to her and said, the Holy Ghost will overshadow you. And the thing you conceive in your womb, we call the Son of God. You know, they say, and of course this is history or tradition or a myth or whatever, but they say that all good Jewish girls back in those days prayed to be the one to have the Son of God. Every girl, they say that was a thing. You know, girls today, you know, they want the boy to play football or basketball. You know how they are. They didn't have that back then. And they just, every good Jewish girl hoped that maybe they would be the one. Now that seems strange to us, don't it? But another time, another culture, they hoped that they would be the one. And when Mary was visited by the angel, she said, how can I? I'm not even married. I'm only maybe 15 years old. Now, not today. You've got to be 21 or older to get married. But back then, nothing else to do. But you want me? I'm going to be the mother of the Son of God? How will it be? And she, of course, again, the angel told her that it would be a miraculous conception. And the greatest miracle that has ever been or will ever be was Jesus was born. You know, we don't talk enough about it probably, but to think that he would be born of a virgin and then live a sinless life, not a flaw in his character. There is no guile found in his mouth. And also his death was miraculous. But then think of this. He was raised from the dead. That's pretty sharp, guys. He was raised from the dead and seen of many men, many women. But the miracle will stop there. One day, as he walked with his disciples, all of a sudden he gave them a commandment to go to Jerusalem. And then he just kind of waved bye-bye, and he ascended up. But it don't stop there. The miracle still went on. He told them to go in Jerusalem and tarry until you receive power. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. Same thing he told Mary. And lo and behold, they ended up, about 500 of them, you know, he told them. But only 120 of them went. And on that day, they received an experience they never would forget. It changed the course of the world. And folks, right there is the greatest, bar none, miracle that has ever happened, will ever happen, that Jesus Christ was born. You know, Jesus had a life before he came to earth. You know that, don't you? They say he was in the bosom of the Father. He was the Word of God. He was active in creation. He always was. We know he always will be, but he always was. And he left the glory of heaven, the splendor of heaven, to become a man like you and me. That's amazing. He gave up the glory the promise of heaven to identify with you and me. And you know, I've heard some preachers preach that he's back in heaven. Of course, you know, we know he's back in heaven today. But that he's there as a glorified, resurrected man. Now that's strange. Jesus Christ is God. We know that. But he also is man. And he gave all that up just to save you and me. Now that's a miracle, folks. Wouldn't you like to see? I like to have been there when he walked the face of the earth. But that's a strong miracle. And in today's society, Jesus is just a good man. Not deity, not God. They don't care. They put him down. But one day the Lord will show himself, because we know he'll come back. And when he comes back, he'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank God for that. And so the greatest miracle, that was Jesus. Peter said in Acts 2 and 22 that God approved him through signs, wonders, and powerful works. And so Jesus, when he came, when he grew to manhood and he was baptized in Jordan and he went about doing good, one sign of his godhood, one sign of who he was that he performed miracles. I mean, the first one, of course, is water into wine. That's a miracle. When have you done it last? But Jesus did. He did all this. But it said that God approved him. God approved Christ by what he allowed Christ to do. He didn't do nothing of himself, but he did by the power of God. And so we see that Peter said all this. And then we look at the history of the church, early church, and we see that people such as Stephen, the Bible says in Acts chapter 8, he was full of faith, and he did great wonders and miracles among the people. So there we have miracles again. And then we go on to Acts chapter 12, verse 5. We see that Peter was in jail, and all of a sudden, his chains fell off miraculously. That's another miracle. We look at Acts 16, 25. Paul and Silas, they were in prison. They were shackled down. They begin to sing songs. They begin to praise the Lord, whatever they did. And all of a sudden, they were set free. Miraculously, shackles fell off. Now, folks, we serve a God of miracles. Now let's get a little deeper in this. Let's define a miracle. Not by the world standards. We don't define by what the world says. We define what this book says. Because faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So we define everything by this book. If we get outside this book, we get in trouble. A miracle is defined, and I got this out of Cruden's Concordance. It's an event beyond the powers of any known physical law. That means if man can help you, and that's good, but it ain't a miracle. I mean, we call them miracles, and that's all right. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking about a miracle. Water into wine is a miracle. Jesus being born of a virgin, that's a miracle. Paul and Silas, chains fall off their hands. That's a miracle. Nobody helped them. No physical law, no man, no nothing. Just God. Folks, God's still interested in our business. He still is. And so it's produced by the power of God. Wonders, you heard of signs, wonders, and miracles. Wonders were miracles in the Old Testament. Signs were miracles in the New Testament. So we can say that all healings All supernatural happenings, all the deliverances outside of mankind, all salvation are all miracles when done beyond man's abilities. Folks, man can't save you. Maybe a church thinks they can, but they can't. Only the power of God through His forgiveness is able to save anybody. No, you can't save yourself. Mankind is trying, but they can't. They're just digging deeper and deeper and deeper. But the Bible lets us know, Matthew 17:20, and Jesus said, because of your unbelief, I say unto you, if some have faith as a mustard seed. Now, folks, you know that's pretty small. I really, kind of a footnote here or a rabbit trail, I really get a kick out of a lot of TV preachers and a lot of them that want to be, you know, somebody that preaches faith messages, and that's all right. But they preach, you got to have so big a faith to see this happen. You don't. Right here. If you have faith as a mustard seed, and that is the smallest, little bittiest, you don't got to be a preacher to see a miracle. You don't have to be, say, 40 years to see a miracle. You don't have to be an old person, an old saint of God to see a miracle. They ought to see them. You can see a miracle as young as these kids on the front row. You can see a miracle. You can have a miracle. Bible says, you can say to this mountain, be removed in yonder place, and it shall be removed. Nothing. Now that's to you and to me. Nothing. Now, what's nothing mean? It means not a thing. It, not a thing, shall be impossible to you. Now, folks, that's a far cry from what we're. Well, let's just say I'm glad we're taught in this church the power of miracles. I'm glad that before us, if I ask you tonight, have you seen a miracle beyond what a man can do? And look, I'm glad for what men can do. I'm glad for what doctors can do. I'm glad for what psychologists, I'm glad for all this. But folks, I'm not talking about that kind of miracle. Our Almighty God still performs miracles without the aid of anybody. Anybody. We'll go on. Miracles were given to the early church and to Christ to prove who He was. God gave these men miracles to prove that God was all-powerful. And you know, the devil has taken, well, I'm just dealing with the New Testament tonight, but over 2,000 years, the devil has worked overtime to prove that God does not do miracles anymore. He's done work plumb overtime, hadn't he? Acts chapter 4, verse 30. They were all gathered in a prayer meeting, and they begin to pray. And let's look at that out real quickly. Chapter 4, verse 30. It said, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Signs and wonders, remember, are miracles. And when they prayed this prayer, something began to happen. It said in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Man, that's faith. The whole place was shaken. Where they were assembled together, and they were all filled again with the Holy Ghost. The same thing that happened in Acts chapter 2. It was repeated in Acts chapter 4, in Acts chapter 5. When they had prayed, it came on the 120, explosive, dynamic power for performing miracles. This was a promise, not to just them, but to you and I. You know, I hear so much, being a preacher, I guess, I listen to good preachers and bad preachers. That's why I have to come to church to listen to good preachers. But they preach, well, I guess to get. But they preach that these miracles are just for crowds of 5,000. Or the big theaters where bukus, preachers will come. The big Tulsa meetings. Now, some are good. I'm not against everything. I'm getting old, but not everything. But we kind of think, well, we're left out. We're just a small group of people in Claremore, Oklahoma. How are we to think about these things? But folks, I got news for you. This nothing shall be impossible to you. This not for them. It's also for us. It's a promise God given us. If we'll just, somebody else will come and preach. It is so hard to have a miracle. They'll preach this and this and this and this, and then you got to have a prophet to interpret it. All you got to do is believe, have faith. That's your part. It's the rest of God's, and He does it. Now, folks, I know I if anybody needs a miracle tonight, it's me. And that's why, you know, it's kind of weird me preaching on this. But I believe, I've always believed, but I believed even strongly more that I serve a God of miracles. Even though you're lame, you're sick, I'm lame, we provide the best opportunity to have a miracle done in our midst. Because that's the kind of God we serve. Now, I want to read something to you. If I can get to it real quick. About 2 months ago, I decided I want to read The Rise and Fall of Rome by Mr. Gibbons. It was first wrote in 6 volumes, sometime from 1700, something along the line then. And so I go to the library down here, and I say, I want The Rise and Fall of Rome by Gibbons. She didn't know what I was talking about. But she led me to a section, and she said, oh, here's one. And so it was a book about that thick. And so they gave me the book, and I checked it out. I went home all excited. I'm going to read The Rise and Fall of Rome. I found out that book she gave me was volume 3. There was still volume 1, volume 2, and then when this thing was wrote, there were 6 volumes. I opened up volume 3, and they were worse than the American presidency. They changed Caesars every year, almost. It was Caesar after Caesar after Caesar after Caesar. But I want to read this. This is true. Keep in mind, the following account is taken from an actual history of Rome, from the book, The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. The supernatural gifts, which even this life are ascribed to Christians, must have contributed to the comfort and conviction of infidels. The Christian church from the time of the apostles to the first disciples have claimed an interrupted intercession of miraculous powers, the gift of tongues, visions, prophecy, powers to cast out demons, of powers to heal the sick and raise the dead. The divine inspiration, whether it was conveyed in the form of working, awaking, or sleeping visions. It described a favor very liberally bestowed on all ranks of the faithful, on women, on elders, on boys, on bishops. This was during the time of the Roman Empire. We may add that the design deeds, the vision was, for the most part, either to disclose future history or guide the present administration of the church. The expulsion of demons, the persons who they permitted to torment, was considered an ordinary triumph of religion. It was expected. It happened. Now, this ain't Jerusalem. This is in Rome, you know, where the lions ate people and the gladiators beat people up. It says here the ceremony, I won't talk about ceremony, but also the miraculous cure of disease can no longer occasion any surprise when we recollect that in the days of Irenaeus, I think that's how you say his name, about the end of the second century, the resurrection of the dead was very far from being an uncommon event. So, that come from the book. So, during up into the second century, it was common in Rome for God to do the miraculous. Now, that blew me away. In a place like Rome. And of course, I didn't read volume 3 or volume 1 or 2. I got the abridged edition and learned all I wanted to learn. Rome is nobody to pattern their life after. They were wicked, ruthless people, and they were controlled by the rich. No, anyway. A preacher, old-time preacher in Indiana. His name is in Richmond, Indiana, and Brother Calcott. He's probably 80 years old, 90 years old now. I was taking a class, a Bible school class once, and he was preaching and teaching the class on miracles. And this is what he said. Keep miracles before the people, so that it won't die out. And this man, he had a church of running maybe 30. He's alive today and runs about 30 people. But he sees still yet, he sees miracles, unexplained miracles, wherever he goes. Now that's amazing. But he says you've got to keep it before the people. You got to keep telling them, or else we'll forget. And folks, you know, we will. You know, I'll forget my name. You don't say John once in a while. I'll forget my name. We're that way. But he says, if we keep it before the people, we will always expect it, pray for it, and have faith in it. There is a working of miracles. 1 Corinthians talks about it. Faith that produces miracles. A sovereign move of God. Folks, I don't know about you, but I need a miracle. And I would say if we had people stand up tonight, do you need a miracle? The doctor says, I can't cure it. Thank God the things they can cure. But they can't cure it all. My mom, she's 86 years old. You met her last Mother's Day. She goes to a little church in Chautauqua, where I'm from, Kansas. And they run about 20, 30 on Sunday night. And she's 86 years old. They still believe the old school. Well, you do too. They have had a prayer line. It's a young pastor. I had this boy when he was a little bitty boy. He was my pastor in Kansas, his son. And they were praying for a friend of mine from someplace in western Oklahoma. He goes through the Assembly of God. It passes me. But they were, his younger brother was standing in for him. And his, that man, his legs begin to swell. His spots on his lungs. To make a long story short, it was 99% sure this man had cancer. He's about 5 years younger than me and a good friend. Wouldn't you know that God healed him through his brother standing in Chautauqua, Kansas, healed him all the way in Oklahoma, and that boy is walking today. His name is Eugene Trinkle. And lo and behold, Mom thought, well, see, Mom fell about, I think, 2 years ago, and she messed up her shoulder. And she'd been in real bad pain. She lived on Tylenol and everything else. And she was hoping for surgery. And she was supposed to have went and got an opinion. She got a second opinion. And the doctor said, you've got to have surgery in that shoulder. And Mom, she was, you've ever been that way, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you been that place. And she didn't know what to do. She didn't, you know, she's kind of old. She thinks for surgery. She needs a new knee. But here's this shoulder. And so she thought, well, they're having the prayer line, so I'll go up there. A church that run about 25, 30 people that night. A little old, I call him, snot-nosed preacher. He's a good friend of mine. I knew him. I know him. People that were, a lot of them didn't finish high school. All they knew was that God does miracles. Well, my mom, you know, and of course she's old school. She went down, lift up her hands. They come by as they did every Sunday for years. But something happened this night. I saw Mom the next couple of days, and Mom said, guess what? I said, what? She couldn't even raise this hand like I can. She said, looky here. She went like this. She said, I went up for prayer, and they wasn't even praying for me. But they did after they prayed for this man. And God miraculously healed me. Now, I guess you got to be there. But folks, I'm here tonight for some reason to tell you. There's been times in this church on Sunday morning when the music has been just right. The pastor preached just right. And I kid you not, I thought I could take off and run. I probably should have, because I probably would have been healed. I'm telling this not to, I don't want to win brownie points. I don't care about that anymore. But I'm here to tell you, I believe you're right. And please don't fault me here. If I'm wrong, just forgive me and forget what I said. But I believe this church, through your pastor, through your youth pastor, through you folks, are ripe for miracles. And I don't say that lightly. And I probably won't say it again. Let me finish. There's three reasons for not receiving a miracle. Matthew 13:18 says, he didn't do many works because people didn't believe. So, you know, people, if you don't believe it, you can't receive it. And unbelief is one of the major reasons that people don't receive the miraculous from God. Another reason in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, is ignorance. And I don't mean ignorance in a bad way. I mean people don't know. They don't know that we serve a God that still does the miraculous. They have lived their lives so long without seeing, without hearing, without knowing, without asking, that they just don't know. And many people are sickly and suffer among us today. And the last, Hebrews 2 and 1, it said we shouldn't let the promises of God, lest we let them slip. S-L-I-P, that means leak out. We just plain old, pardon my French, we forgot. Yeah, he promised us miracles. We just forgot. Satan doesn't want you to believe for miracles. 1 John says he comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But it says, Jesus says, I come that you might have life. And folks, that's miraculous life. It's easy to believe. I mean, it's easy to not have and to do without when you don't need it. I knew many days of good health. And of course, health-wise, I'm okay. I just got this cursed thing that don't work good. But I see you. Maybe you're here tonight. And this ain't, this is, I didn't come to make an altar call. But I come to remind you, to stir you up, to cause you to remember, to just let you know. Because, you know, folks, frankly, I should have been dead. But I'm not. And some of you have some kind of pronouncement upon you. You should be dead. Or maybe they told you, there's no hope for you. But they haven't met our God yet. They haven't met Jesus Christ yet. And they haven't met a church full of people that believe that he's able. And that he's willing and he will perform. And then, of course, the greatest salvation, the greatest miracle is for a man or woman to get saved. That's the greatest. Outside of Jesus being born is a man to get saved. You know, I don't mean it's time to go, but I got this story. I got a brother-in-law in Kentucky. He was the most wickedest man that you ever knew. See, we lived here. Elsie's sister lived here. Elsie's brother lived here. And Elsie's other sister lived here. Four houses. He was a wicked man. Almost, they just well been divorced. But he was wicked. She was married to Elsie's sister. He was so wicked. He was from the hills of Bah Fork. Anybody know where Bah Fork is? Kentucky? It's close to Thousand Sticks. You know that is, don't you, brother? It's way out there. It's almost a hazard. You know where Hazard's at, don't you? Now, you're used to Dukes of Hazard. Not the same place. You couldn't drive a car in this Hazard, Kentucky. But Crow, that's what we called him. He had education. He was pretty smart. But he was wicked. Matter of fact, I didn't even like to be around him. And I wasn't around him too much. But something one day happened. He went next door to his sister-in-law And she witnessed to him. And folks, it's like the devil getting saved. He gave his heart to the Lord. The next day, he went to the next sister's house and took him to the church. And it was the most deadest, driest service you ever did go to. But the pastor was one of the best pastors in the world. He looked back and said, "Hey, Crow, you got saved, didn't you, buddy?" "Oh, this is a sinner. You want to receive the Holy Ghost? Stand up." I mean, it's dead. He stood up. Right then, he began to speak in tongues and receive the Holy Ghost. And then we lived next door. Of course, we pastored a church in Barberville, Kentucky. And we taught school in Lowell County, London, Kentucky. He came to our church that Sunday night. He wanted to be baptized. It took me and my brother-in-law that was helping me put this guy under the water. He didn't stay. Folks, I never saw a guy most excited about his salvation because it was a miracle. You had to know the guy. And today, he's still on fire as he was 15 years ago because Christ is still real and still fresh and still moving by miracles. And so in conclusion, I like to say, let's not be like Gideon in chapter 6 and said, "Where are the miracles that our father saw?" Now, unfortunately, that's what a lot of our young people are saying. I was challenged in school once by one student that was raised in Pentecost. He says, "Brother Withrow," I was the principal of the school, "how come we hear about it, but we don't see it?" I couldn't answer him. And I never will forget that. But it says here in Gideon said, "Where are the miracles that our father saw?" Folks, I think if we get back believing, and this is a season for believing. I don't know why. Maybe Santa Claus has came to town. I don't know. Jesus probably wasn't born December 25th. But it is a season for believing for the impossible. Just something about this season. And let us believe it's a season. And a miracle's for me. A miracle's for you. Man looks upon us and say, "Man, you're crazy. You're going to be that way all your life." But if we listen to God, God says, "All things are possible. If you'll just dare." And you don't got to be superhuman. You don't got to be Mr. Holy Joe. You don't got to be any of these things. You just got to be a believer and believe that He is and a rewarder of those that will diligently seek Him. And if the miracle will come tonight, get up tomorrow believing it will come tomorrow. Maybe somebody needs to get saved. Maybe your brother, your mother, your father, your friends, maybe they need the Lord. And it's just impossible. Get up and tell the world and the devil, with God, all things are possible. If the doctors gave you your pink slip, you're headed out of here. Don't believe him. There's no toe tag on you. Now, when it's time, no prayer in heaven or earth will save you. But why would we want it to save us? We're going to heaven. But until that time, don't you believe what anybody tells you? Believe that with God, all things are possible. And you know, you will wake up to a miracle. I've had I've had a nurse and somebody, I don't think I know her, just a passing friend, told me, "You know, your arm it might come back. Your arm will start working again. Just some people in Walmart. So, folks, how can I believe anything less for you? How can I believe for me and not for you? If you believe, I mean believe, listen, God's here to do miracles. And I don't mean he might not do them tonight, but he may do them tomorrow. But you got to dare to believe. And that goes against the grain for most people and unfortunately most churches. But I'm glad we still believe around here. And miracles are happening maybe to you already. Maybe you can testify and tell me of things that's happening in your life. But folks, tonight, and I don't know how you want to end this service, brother. And I don't have no big power. I ain't got the ability to believe for your miracle or whatever. But I wonder, just if the doctors, everybody, or maybe somebody needs saved and it don't look good. Yeah. Come on up, brother. I like the pastor close by. But if you need a miracle or know somebody that needs salvation, I wonder if you would just stand. You ain't coming up here. But we're going to have a quick prayer. And I'm going to pray too for myself. But does anybody need a miracle? Anybody at all? I hope you don't need one. Stand up.